Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Happy Wednesday. Good morning. This is Wednesdays with Willa, and I'm your host, Willa White. This is my weekly podcast show that airs live on my Facebook page, Willa White Medium, and also goes out on blogtalkradio.com/LilydaleRadio. On my show, I typically have a special guest, and we cover a very wonderful topic, usually relating to spiritualism, healing, mediumship, faith, family, and more. And I am so delighted to have as my guest today, Nancy Lombardo.
Thank you, Willa.
Nancy's been on my show before. We've covered some very serious topics in
the past.
Yes, we have. I think we've covered suicide at one point, and I can't remember the other topic. But you can look back in the archive videos on my Facebook page, Willa White Medium, and you can find, type in Nancy Lombardo, and she's been a wonderful resource in the past. For those of you who don't know who Nancy is, she is a retired police officer detective.
Yes.
She had that esteemed title. And you worked very strongly in Oklahoma, right?
I did, yes.
You were in the military, and then you went into the police force and did an amazing job, and was certainly well-deserved, the accolades that go toward Nancy. I'm really blessed to have her as my neighbor. She's a real sweethearted person, and it's amazing to me that you've ever had to be in that tough, what I could envision as a tough world as a police detective.
Right.
I think you've even done hostage negotiation and things
mm-hmm.
like that. So here's this amazingly beautiful woman who has done all of these incredible things. And on top of all of that, you are currently the president of the Church of the Living Spirit here in Lilydale.
It's a great honor.
Yes, and we're very blessed to have you.
Thank you.
In Lilydale and heading up the Church of the Living Spirit, you do healing and you're definitely developing your mediumship, and it's really great to have you in our community.
Teach yoga?
Yes, and we're going to get to the point. She is a yoga instructor.
I am.
That's the official title, right? Yoga instructor.
Yes.
And you've done that for years.
Yes.
And you even teach here in Lilydale, especially in the summertime.
Yes.
And
during the summer season, I'll be teaching sunrise yoga on the beach.
Ooh, on
Saturdays.
The beach.
Yeah, it's really pretty.
So they can come out and enjoy things there. There's the sand, and then there's the dock.
And the water.
And the water, and where the sky meets the water, and that's where you get to be. So what a special experience.
It is. I had started it last year for the first time, and people really enjoyed it.
Highly recommend.
The weather was cooperative.
Oh, sure.
For sure.
Because sometimes you get a storm that comes in.
Right, yeah. Then we moved into the,
But, summer is so beautiful in Lilydale, and I'm glad that you're offering that class. And I hope a lot of people take advantage of the fact that Nancy's a wonderful person and instructor. So today I know we're going to focus on life through breath.
Yes.
And you've done your own work on your breathing for yoga and for your own purposes. I'm really excited to learn from you today and also have this wonderful spiritual conversation.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, I'm excited. Well, the first thing I did yesterday, of course, I looked up Wikipedia.
Sure.
Who doesn't use Wikipedia? I thought it was fun just to see the official, what they officially said breathing is. And, of course, we know it's the process of moving air in and out of our lungs.
Yes.
Facilitate gas exchange with the internal environment, mostly by bringing in oxygen and flushing out carbon dioxide. Excuse me. But I thought the funniest thing they said was that breathing was invented approximately 3.77 billion years ago.
Whoa!
Invented.
Are they talking about this on a kind of cellular level way back when?
They didn't clarify, but I didn't think breathing was ever something that was invented.
That is an odd word choice.
Yeah, very odd word choice.
But the exchange of air.
Yes.
And, you know, plants have that exchange of air, and they have a symbiotic relationship with us in all of that. And we've been studying, my children and I have been studying human body, and especially the lungs, and how important it is, the air that you're taking in, and how that is then given to the blood to carry to different parts of your body to sustain you. And so there's that breath of life when you're first born, right? And that gasp of air that you take. And there's an understanding as you develop spiritually how important breath really is, that you have a choice how deep or how shallow you live and you breathe. And to really engage that diaphragm and be one with the breath, it's a mindfulness and
right.
a sacred connection that occurs, not just the biology of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's wonderful that we have that understanding that we can release that which we no longer need and take in life force. It's really beautiful.
And I think it is something for sure that's natural, but then something that you develop to how to really connect to it.
Yes.
And how it can affect every aspect of your life if used properly.
Right. Because, you know, most people think that's kind of an involuntary thing. They're not really
thinking about
their breath.
Right.
And where it could take them.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to put it, where they could take it. I think the very first time I really actually started thinking about breath would have to be when I worked as a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote this, I got this quote, and I like it. It says, "Breath is the bridge which connects life to consciousness, which unites your body to your thoughts. Whenever your mind becomes scattered, use your breath as the means to take hold of your mind again." By Thich Nhat Hanh.
Yes. He's a master monk. For sure.
I remember when I worked as a detective, I remember one specific circumstance, and I had cases piled up on my desk, just piled up, and I was thinking, you know, how am I going to get through all this? And there was a moment that I literally just felt like I couldn't breathe. You know, I just couldn't breathe. Whew. And took a few deep breaths, and I thought, whew, you know, just doing that felt a little better. You know, just made you feel a little better, like you can go on to the next moment. And from that instant is when I actually kind of sought out yoga for my mental
health, not just the physical health.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's originally how it originally started, was for my mental health, for everything I was dealing with the police department. I began yoga, but once I got into yoga, I really started connecting to it. And in yoga, we practice Ujjayi breath. I know you've done yoga yourself.
Yes,
so
I'm a yoga girl.
I know you're a yoga girl, so that's the practice of basically breathing in and through your nose and keeping the heat and the energy inside you. And then, of course, when you breathe out, you release everything.
Yeah.
Through movement.
And the holding of postures in yoga.
Yes.
I mean, I tend to not want to hold them too long. But when you're in poses and you're twisted like a pretzel or wherever you need to be, if you're in warrior, there's that you try to focus on your breath in those moments.
Yes.
And kind of take your mind out of the discomfort that might be happening by holding yourself in a certain way.
If you have uncomfortable feelings, you try to concentrate to actually move breath to that area.
Yes.
Like if you're in that position and you're like, oh, my legs just, you know, you try to concentrate to actually breathe breath to your leg.
Yes.
And if you can consciously do that, you can almost physically feel breath going to those areas that you need.
It's true.
But it is definitely something you just can't start it. It's something you have to practice and work out.
It's a conscious thing
develop.
You have to first have, and then eventually you can do some of it on automatic pilot.
Correct.
But largely it is I think that's what's so wonderful about having a yoga instructor, is because they remind you
to breathe always. Mm-hmm.
In those moments, and when to breathe, I think, is the tricky thing for people too, as when to breathe when they're doing certain movements that matters, whether it's on the in-breath or the out-breath, how our muscles react sometimes to what's going on. And so that importance of having breath be part of your spiritual practice, not just with yoga, but you can see the value of it the more you do it.
Absolutely.
And, you know, some of the things I've noticed with yoga breathing, you know, because they have the anapana.
Oh, yes.
And that's to align.
And I hear a lot of mediums, use that also for their mediumship.
That's a technique. Holding the nostrils in one nostril, hold out the other nostril, and back and forth to kind of help the left brain and right brain, sync up together a bit more. So you have that, but you also have in yoga, when you're all done and you're in what's called the name is corpse pose, though. It's relaxed pose,
right,
and you're on your back. And the way your body is positioned, it really helps you to breathe and truly relax in all of this.
And that's when you really just let the breath go and go into your natural state of breathing. It's really supposed to be a relaxing, calming, meditative moment for sure.
Yeah, so I have to say it's probably my favorite part of yoga class. At the end, when you're all kind of wrung out. and like your body's, you know, humming a bit, and then you can feel everything melt.
Right.
And, you know, I think there's an arc that happens, almost like a story in your body when you do yoga.
Correct, yeah.
And for even the people who do Tai Chi, you know, the breath is very important, moving chi.
Yes.
As you do your hand and foot movements, that understanding that breath, you know, you're inhaling while you make this movement, exhaling while you have that movement, and that you're being part of the energy around you in your breath.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really beautiful.
Totally. I wrote this, I didn't write it. It just said, breath is a force that sustains life.
Mm-hmm.
Conscious breath is a force that sustains awareness.
Ooh, I love it.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
I love it.
I like that a lot. And, of course, the practice of yoga, breath is the fundamental part of yoga. Even though you're thinking it's movement, it's really the breath, because the breath sustains the movement, and it connects, I always say, the mind, body, and spirit.
Yes.
Totally. And if you can get to that part where you are sustained, it's a spiritual moment for sure.
Absolutely. You know, sometimes when we have difficulties in our life, how we breathe does help us with our reaction of the moment. I've really tried to encourage my children that if they feel overwhelmed, to breathe. And that every breath in that moment is a prayer.
Yeah, I like that.
A prayer for peace that's going on, and so that you can reset some of the discordant energy that may have been there before, so you can get into that moment of now.
Mm-hmm.
And yoga does that. You to do yoga well, you do have to be very focused on your body posture. And even if something is mountain pose, which you're standing there and you think is no big deal, but having to have your body completely in alignment actually facilitates the breathing more, and you have to focus on it. And it's those little small incremental muscle movements that you make to get yourself completely into alignment while this occurs, and you're focusing on your breathing and breathing down into your feet, breathing up into your head, because you are the mountain.
Right.
And
yeah.
So it's really beautiful.
I like mountain pose, actually.
You think, oh, it's just mountain pose. But if you're doing it right, it can be quite a journey for you.
And you're grounding yourself and then releasing yourself. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And for those that don't know, part of our service for the Church of Living Spirit is taking a few moments, we meditate.
This is true.
But I always start off when I'm sharing just to tell everybody to begin by taking a few deep breaths.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you take those couple of breaths, it really gets you into the mindset to be able to take a few minutes to release and calm and We just do that, for like 2 minutes as part of our service, but it's one of my favorite parts of the service, honestly. And you can just see when you stand back up and people have taken that time to breathe, to calm themselves, what a difference it makes.
Yeah, and you can look out at the congregation, and there's this energy of peace. They've had to maybe calm their monkey mind a little bit there, and they found some moments where they were actually breathing more deeply and settled into it, and there's a group vibration.
Totally, yeah.
That occurs, and it's almost like a...
And you feel that's exactly what it feels like after.
Yeah.
It's exactly what it feels like. And then you just have to remind people that you can do this any time of the day, like you said with your kids, you
mm-hmm.
know. Take a couple minutes, just not even a couple minutes, just a few breaths to calm yourself and to find that moment that you need.
So there is science behind breath. I know, you know, people have really been studying breath. I remember learning about the relaxation breath pattern. And with that, there's a particular breath or rate of breathing that's particular to the individual. And they can't, so as much as you can go into these breathing sequences, and someone will say, breathe in for seven, mm-hmm. hold for seven, exhale for seven, that's not actually appropriate for every person. It depends on what they're really trying to train for. But I found that people... wherever you find that space where you were, if you were to breathe more deeply or more shallowly, it wouldn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of hit this little sweet spot.
Right.
And then when you hit that sweet spot and you just maintain, there's an effortlessness that occurs
right.
in that breathing. And they've actually done studies that if you breathe, you can take your blood pressure down. You can really get all of your body into that energetic alignment just by getting your particular breath pattern. And once you've achieved it and you practice on a maybe daily basis, you can get there just as quick as one breath.
Right, right.
And it will serve you well in every occasion that you need it.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
So I'm glad that we have that as a resource to us that may not come as easily to some as it does to others. But with practice, you can find it. You can hone in on what your particular breath pattern is and sustain that.
It doesn't cost anything.
Exactly. It's free, folks.
It's free, yes. You were talking about that, and I was instantly thinking about my running.
Yes. So Nancy's a marathon runner among everything else. She's a very accomplished marathon runner. How many marathons have you done?
I've done 6 full marathons and probably about 50 half marathons.
Crazy.
And I'm training for the Oklahoma City Marathon in April, half marathon. But I was out there the other day, actually, and in the cold, you know, that first mile or so, you're like, you know, just trying to get your breath, trying to get used to the cold. But then you're at this spot where you just, it's just a regular breath, like I'm talking to you right now, is how I'm running, you know, just talking, breathing. And to be able to sustain that, you don't even physically realize that you're breathing the exact same way with the steps. But I'm doing it, you know, two in, one out, two in, one out, and you maintain that for miles.
It's your breathing tempo.
My breathing tempo,
yeah.
But it like reaches this peak and then it just levels off and it just stays there.
I think that's why people, when they hit that kind of zen space and they're running,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden inspiration starts to occur moments.
I do my writing when I'm running.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And it's very valuable to find that, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're running.
Well, a lot of people, they'll get out there even just walking and their breathing starts getting heavy. And they're like, I can't do this. I'm out of breath. You got to get past that.
True.
You have to move past that uncomfortable spot
mm-hmm.
to get to that sweet spot.
Yeah. I think what happens is people don't always know whether it's discomfort or pain, and they get scared,
mm-hmm.
which
mm-hmm.
actually tightens up their breathing more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's just like with anything with muscles that you have to work out for a while before it becomes easy to do, you do have to pay attention to it. I'm glad you mentioned that, too.
Right, and I mean, especially with running or any kind of exercising, so to say, breath is everything.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have, you can be in the best shape of your life, and if I don't have my breath when I'm out there running, I'm not going to make it. You know,
yeah.
Like you got to have your breath.
So I had learned this past summer that if a runner has a stitch in their side, that they need to raise up one of their arms.
And you have to practice because you're shallow breathing a lot of times to get that stitch, and you have to deep breathe, which is kind of hard to do when you're like 1 mile.
But I guess by doing the arm, I mean, I've been told that if you're choking, raise your arm up, it somehow helps. And then they had this, if you have a stitch in your side, that's what you're supposed to do. And so somehow that shifts the lungs to be able to work through that.
I've raised both my arms. I haven't necessarily just done one because I have got the side.
You've
stitches.
Gone into praise.
Anything to get rid of that side stitch.
That's right.
For sure, because that's uncomfortable. But, I could understand that, the shift.
And with running, it's probably easier for you to run alone than with someone else.
Actually, I like to run with somebody else because I like to be able to hold a conversation. Because then when you're holding a conversation, you're definitely not even thinking about your breath.
That's true.
And you're automatically breathing
but you're,
in and out.
But you're at a different pace, or you have to find someone who's at the same kind of
same
pace.
Otherwise,
you're going to be like,
ah. Right. Yeah, but it's actually easier to run with somebody just because you're talking and you're not having to so much concentrate on your breath. So when you're running, as I do most of the time by myself, you do get into that meditative, euphoric state.
Yes.
For your mental stability and awareness, and just to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you can see how Nancy has done a lot of her own personal study of her breath. You can see that.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to know how you use breath in your mediumship.
So I will prepare before a client arrives. I'll breathe. Sometimes I'll do, there's some postures depending if I feel I need them energetically.
Mm-hmm.
But then with my opening prayer, and those of you who've had readings with me can attest to this, we sit in prayer and I say, okay, I take a few deep breaths at your own pace.
And you do that every time?
Every prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Every time with the client. And so that breath, especially if they've come in and they're frantic or they're anxious or if they're maybe a little too excited.
Because
they're like, this is so exciting. Oh, my gosh. So, it just depends. But it also, I feel breath can unite. And we're using breath to raise up our consciousness in those moments. And so by doing that, it's always part of my opening prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And so that helps me to just have that moment. And then, I speak the words of my prayer and I can feel the sacred intention with those words and that my client is sharing that intention with me. And we started with the breath, though. I believe breath is the beginning of a lot of things.
Correct.
And so, that's my best example.
No, I like that, yeah.
Or before I do public mediumship, a lot of times I try not to listen to anything that's gone on before me because I don't want to be, what I bring my attention to starts to become all I know at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because I'm a medium and I'm a sensitive, and so if I bring attention to it, I start to feel the energy.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to hold myself out of the circle of that. And breathe and do my own prayer and ignore everything that's going on around me until I'm called up. And then I take a deep breath. So I like that alone time to breathe and pray.
But do you feel that it's the breath that's allowing you
to
do
that?
The
breath is assisting.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely assisting in my process.
Mm-hmm.
And then, in working as a spiritual healer, as healers in church-style spiritual healing, we have our healing prayer, but then we're breathing. And when you're moving your hands in different positions and paying attention to your breath, a lot of times the breath of the healer is assisting to clear that energy off of the person that they're working with.
I find it essential
during
healing, for sure.
Because it's like you could just feel like, and as you exhale, you could feel the energy going to go out of your hands.
Yes.
To the person that's sitting there for healing.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, the breath is pushing good,
mm-hmm.
all that is good and all that is healing to that person, into their energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Yes,
yeah.
And it's in the, so that's kind of like with Tai Chi, that idea of you know breathing out, and you're sending good, you're receiving good, you're sending good, you're receiving good. So often with breath, there people are very aware, I'm releasing all the negative stuff now, and they can almost visualize yucky stuff coming out of them. And if that's where they're at and they need to do that, it's nice to know that we have a choice
mm-hmm.
on how we perceive our breathing and how we're responding to it spiritually.
Correct. Right. Yeah.
And how about you?
As far as?
As feeling breath. I know you've done healing before.
Yes.
And,
mm-hmm.
and you can feel, do you feel it on the out breath a lot of the time?
It's actually the first couple of things I do. You know, I take time to breathe before I even start,
mm-hmm.
just
mm-hmm.
to connect. So it's very important, and it's probably what I didn't. You were talking about that. I didn't consciously realize I was doing that during my healing, but I am throughout the entire healing using breath for sure.
Yes. Yeah.
And I said, you just do it without even realizing you're doing it because it's so powerful.
Right. And then at the end, I usually, with spiritual healing in church, I will hold the person's hand and I'll pray over them. And I can feel that we're kind of breathing together in those last moments.
Yes, because, yeah, you're right.
You're kind of breathing together. There's kind of a union. Because you've just been through a few minutes together where you've been merged.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really beautiful.
I was going to say, it's totally beautiful, yeah.
And you, in those final moments, that you can usually feel you're kind of almost unconsciously, you're just synced up with them for those moments.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel it at the end there, too. And then after...
And you can, when they first come to you, you know, you can feel they're breathing heavy or breathing hard, but you're exactly right. By the
yeah.
end of it, you're in sync.
You're in sync.
And
you can feel their gratitude.
Yes.
In those moments. And then... after they're up off the bench, I usually have to take a few more deep, clearing breaths,
mm-hmm.
very deep, clearing breaths as I'm, passing off the last,
mm-hmm.
anything, the residue of that.
Right, yeah.
Of those moments, kind of shake it off a little bit and breathe very deeply and prepare to help the next.
Mm-hmm.
So breath absolutely facilitates in healing.
Yes, absolutely.
And when people do visualization, let's say they have illness in their body or pain in their body, breathing into that space, not just like for yoga, but the idea of breathing into that space when you're in pain or there you feel like something's wrong in a certain location, to that focuses that area. It's not just those platelets rushing to it or the white blood cells or whatever, but your breath is also there to assist.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we do have to go into the pain using the breath so that we can disperse it.
Right.
It'd be kind of the idea of a hot and then a cold pack, hot and then a cold pack. Sometimes breath also, moves things out of a location.
Right, right.
So you could do that on a personal level. You don't always have to go and sit for spiritual
yeah.
healing on a bench.
No, absolutely, for sure. I was thinking about what you were saying about breath. To me is so beautiful because I don't have any children, but I know you do.
Yeah.
And like you said, the very first thing you hear is that gasp of air
yeah.
as a child, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's incredible. It's natural. But then at the same token, when you're with somebody at the end of their life,
yes.
and to be with them in that moment when the very last thing they do is let out that last bit of breath, at the same token, it's beautiful. It's the life cycle. It's everything that's happened in between the beginning and the end, before the other end.
I know.
But the whole process of it is just overwhelmingly beautiful.
It is. And people, myself included, when we've attended those when someone or even a pet or however that
mm-hmm.
works for you, if you're there, you can feel that last breath. Sometimes it's a gasp for them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are sensitive or aware or can sense things on that dimensional level, you can see things exiting
mm-hmm.
from, parts of the spirit exiting from the physical body.
Right.
in those moments. And it really is incredible to know that that's going on, and you can see it with your spirit eyes.
Absolutely.
Not necessarily with your physical.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it, the whole process of it is just, it, you know, phew.
Yeah, it's so fast.
It just like blows your mind. I mean, it's a lot to take in.
So if there are ways that you all have felt that you've connected very strongly with breath yourself, you know, leave a comment on the Facebook page there, because I'd be, you know, I'm always kind of curious to read back and see the positive comments and to see how people are applying something in their own life. Because you may have had similar experiences to me and to Nancy, as we have, but you probably have had other experiences with breath yourself that maybe have assisted you over the hump of life that has happened.
And maybe if you just take your life or your breath for granted and you are having difficult times, maybe this talk will help you think about how can I use this in a different way to better myself.
Mm-hmm.
Something as simple as breath. How can I have it help my life?
Yes.
Because I don't think people think about that maybe on a regular basis all the time.
And I think you're absolutely right. And that, I mean, that's what we see is the value of sharing this with all of you today, is that somehow that's going to be a reminder for you. Because we, you know, none of us is so perfect that we don't need some reminder at some point in our life.
Mm-hmm.
That especially if you have a challenging moment going on, or maybe it's to clear out the blahs of your life too. That's why I found walking to be so important for myself. I like to just feel the air on my head, you know, and just feel like I can breathe in fresh air. There's nothing like a good fresh breath.
Even in the middle of winter in Lilydale.
Winter. Yes. Nancy and I as neighbors have had many good discussions about winter and its effects.
But you get out there just like I do.
Yes.
You're right.
I do try, except when ice is prohibitive. But, right. You know, there's something about having a change of air. Not just, home air is nice, but sometimes you really need to be in among the trees. And I've actually recorded a meditation, and I'm sorry to people who have been waiting for my meditations. I have to get around to actually getting them out to you people. But one is breathing with trees, because when I take walks, and I love in nature, and when I breathe with the trees, I can feel that what's going on with all of us at that moment.
Don't you think sometimes, as I know what you're saying, that it feels like it's going in slow motion?
Yes. That's why I was like,
yeah, when you
and
did
you
that.
Picked up.
Yeah. But you're exactly right.
Even if you're walking fast, you can feel the slow motion. It's almost like ninja movie slow.
Yeah.
But occurs in those moments, and the trees start to look greener. The leaves, you know, and things change in those moments. But a lot of times, if I really need to, let's say I've had a really busy day, I might have to get myself all the way to Lake Erie, you know, because those waves are crashing in, and water with the waves crashing in and receding is very much like breath.
Yes.
And so I find that movement of the waves really helps me to reset in my energy, but also with the breathing. Sometimes we need some big crashy breaths.
Mm-hmm.
To get through whatever we needed to.
That's funny, because I went to Lake Erie the other day because I find such solace in the water, and I do feel that way. You're exactly right. And breath does seem to move with the water.
Yes.
And with your mood, and yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because here at Lilydale, we have Casadega Lake, which is a very sweet lake.
Doesn't make sound.
It doesn't really have any sloshy sounds like you get from an ocean or a big lake like Lake Erie. And a lot of times the water is like glass at certain points of the day.
Right.
So great for kayaking. Not for so much for breathing.
Right. Or for energy work.
I mean, it's good in that idea of I am placid like this lake. And, you know, it's good on that level if you need to get to peace.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we need a little big muscle.
The wind makes me feel the same way.
Yeah.
Whether it's a windy day or not a windy day, it gives me the same effect of that.
I know, and we do get some powerful winds that come through sometimes, and it'll make the leaves dance or the trees dance with all of us, and you can feel that the Mother Nature, however you want to term this, is breathing, and sometimes in it's clearing, and the wind's breath is clearing things out from the trees and out among the land.
Yeah, so it's like a power greater than us.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's really important, I feel, to connect with the majesty of the world.
Yes.
This amazing place we call planet Earth.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and we find instances that are very symbolic breathing around us.
I guess that's why I choose to, regardless of circumstances, be outside year-round with my running to experience all those different
things. She's a tough girl. She looks all delicate, Mary.
Sometimes I got to push myself out that door. But,
but you're powerful.
But to experience all that, everything you're talking about, to be in it physically, because it has a dramatic effect on you.
I think so, and that's why I believe in not getting too cooped up in winter. We've got to get out and see what's happening in the rest of the world, even if it's just to clear our own heads alone for a while, too, though.
In yoga, they refer to breathing sometimes as victorious breathing.
Ooh, I love that.
Don't you like that term?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just love
it. Victorious breathing.
Victorious breathing. And it just sounds so strong and so vigorous and beautiful, and I like that term.
And successful. It sounds like you've won out against something you may have been battling. And I know people who are asthmatic, they find that if they work on their breathing, that they're able to change how their the constriction that they had felt in their lungs before, which is also fascinating. So we needed, if you're at a normal lung level, but even if you're in a constricted lung level, it's something that can be helpful. You got to know how to push it just right.
Right, right.
But I think that's why some asthmatics take up wind instruments.
Right, right, to help move.
To help train the breath. And in training the breath, you're also training the mind.
Absolutely.
And you're resetting with the breath patterns that you're using, to be in that present moment with your breath. Really beautiful.
Yeah, totally. Sure. It's just, like I said, it just affects every part of your life, and you don't even realize that it does until you take a moment to think about it and how does breath affect my life. And it's not a bad thing to think about, honestly, on a daily basis.
True. Bring your attention to that mindfulness, because we do embody prayer.
Yes.
We embody prayer. Every moment can turn into a prayer if we so desire to make it that way. Even mundane tasks can become prayerful events. And when we are in sync with that, even if it's something like washing dishes, scrubbing the floor, I'm chief cook and bottle washer here at my house. So, when we're in those moments, that we can use them, like even with vacuuming. you can sync up to what you're doing and make it a breathing exercise.
So you, I know you do meditation also.
Yes.
And
I snatch it when I can.
Well, at the end of my yoga class, I always leave at least 10 minutes for meditation,
sure.
And I normally walk my students through their entire body.
Mm.
Like you said, where you're in Savasana.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah. And, I start from head to toe and go through their entire body of releasing and breathing and bringing your breath through your entire body. And it's interesting when you're watching and you can actually see them releasing breath through their body, and it does ground, and give them a sense of, I don't know how to explain it, but it's beautiful to watch.
It's a restructuring that occurs in those moments.
Yeah, that's a good word. I like that.
Mm-hmm. And they're settling. It's almost like they're getting their muscles and their bones and everything that in that vessel of theirs aligned in a healing way.
Because sometimes, you know, who thinks about putting breath to their fingers?
Right.
Or who thinks about toes or, you know, just your legs, just every little part of your body to be able to breathe breath into it and in the same token relax your body, calm your body, and go into that meditative state, which is not easy for a lot of people to do if they don't practice it.
Well, I also think in terms of meditation, people try to set themselves like too high of a hurdle when they first start. And it's like, just break this down. This like just little nibbins of things. And then you can build and you might go, wow, I had a 20-minute meditation. Oh, now I'm back to 5. And then, oh, okay, another time I got to 42 minutes. How amazing. You know, like you're going to have ebb and flow from your day.
You're right, because you'll hear people say, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't stay still for a minute.
And so then I usually recommend they do walking meditations, working meditations. If they can get used to it on those levels, then they can start doing the sitting one.
Right.
If they lay down, they tend to fall asleep.
But if you fall asleep, then you know how relaxed they are.
Sure.
So that's not a bad thing.
But then they're like, wait a minute. I just slept through my meditation.
But I kind of take that as a compliment because then I got them at their most relaxed state.
Yeah, so if you're not in class with her, you better set a timer, folks. Unless you're going
to
have Nancy as your wake-up.
Well, you bring chime the bell.
Chime the bell.
Yeah, to bring them back into their state, for sure. But, yeah, breath has been very important for meditation, as you know.
Yes.
So, an important tool.
And you can attend classes that focus on these elements and get better. If you feel like, I really want to know how to do it, then take a class. You can read about it all you want, and that will help, but it's about putting it into practice.
Then you know they're incorporating that into schools now with
younger
children.
This is true.
Because they're finding with all the stuff going on with the kids and the bullying and just the stress that they're under, just taking a few minutes.
It's a lot of stress for kids to sit still, and you're pretty much told you've got to care a lot about this particular subject right now for 30 minutes, 20, 30 minutes. Now drop it. Drop it now. Now care about this one. Very intensely. Drop it now.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be very stressful
mm-hmm.
on them instead of they're being child-led about these things. And I understand it because they're in that kind of group setting.
Right, right.
But they are absolutely starting to incorporate meditation and breathing techniques into schools, which I think is really, really wonderful because they're noticing that if a child is made to understand how normal it is
right.
to do those things.
Early
it's
on.
It's a coping strategy for them.
Absolutely.
To deal with stress in their life, and to settle them down if that's what they needed. They've noticed a lot of ADHD kids
mm-hmm.
have had a great response to breathing and to meditation. And so they know that mind, body, spirit, those children are aligning for that, and then they're able to kind of way and not be bouncing off the walls.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so important to incorporate that at an early age, and I'm so for that
Absolutely.
Process and putting that in the school system and helping the children deal
mm-hmm.
with the stresses that are going on in
yes.
everyday life.
Everyday life can really get to people. So, you know, talking about breath today and life coming through breath is such a wonderful topic and to come on the show and talk about
well,
it today.
I love to come on your show. I love you as my neighbor.
I love you as my neighbor.
we
love each other.
We have female crushes on each other.
We sure do. And, you know, it's so wonderful that you're offering that. Don't forget, people, if you're coming to Lilydale this summer, that you want to attend
Saturdays.
Nancy's Saturday morning
at 7:30. It's early, but it's worth it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And Nancy's perky, but not annoyingly perky. So I just want to make sure I put that out to you. So you know, she's very relaxed and fun.
Thank you.
I appreciate you coming on and talking about this today. And stay tuned next week for Wednesdays with Willa. And I hope everybody has a wonderful week. this is trying to end.